My Dear Fiona by Frances Rosenfeld. Chapter 21. I dreamt a dream last night. We are social creatures, and we don't want to stand out, so we will give up almost anything just to be accepted and partake of the huge game that is society and master its many levels. We're not all that different, my sister and I. While she pretends not to experience things she can't explain, I keep mine to myself, neatly placed in their appropriate containers, lest they risk contaminating my very rational and scientific mind. I store them in the area of my mind that has to do with spirituality, the mysterious, which we researchers like to talk about but don't really take seriously. The same area which houses the intriguing article you read last week at the airport while waiting for the plane to board. It tested the limits of what a reasonable person is allowed to believe, which was a bit daring for a scientific article, and that was exciting, like a guilty pleasure, but not as consequential as the tangible laws that explain why an aircraft can fly, or the extensive studies you did for your own paper, which you're about to present upon arrival at your destination. An exquisite blend of denial and bargaining, which convinces us that if we're pretending the afterlife is an abstract concept, then we won't be judged when we're pondering on it, it's just a hypothetical musing, a mental exercise to stretch one's thinking, nothing serious. Certainly nothing to be judged for, you are not mad, you are not bigoted, you are not different, you just like to entertain interesting concepts. Strangely enough, your unconscious is a lot harder to fool than your reasoning mind. You can rationalize yourself into thinking you don't exist given enough time and talent for argument, but you can never convince your unthinking mind that the thing it just experienced wasn't real. What is real, is a dream you had when you were 8 and still can remember in all its details less real than an actual event you can't recall, even if it was only a few days ago? What makes any event of the past real, other than your recollection of it? Other people's recollections? What if you were alone? How would you tell then whether what you remember is real or imagined? There is a sort of embarrassment that comes with denying yourself, which is more subtle than social discomfort, but goes all the way to your core and checks in with you often to remind you that you are a phony and a coward, since you understand the facts and pretend you don't, so you won't be rejected and deemed defective. It is always there with you, when you present the perfect slides and gain the approval of your betters, when you discuss your flawless, perfectly scientific paper nobody can find fault with, and act as if that's the extent of what a fulfilled life should be, when you know fully well it's not. Concealing the most important part of your existence under mundane tasks, like a mouse scurrying under the pile of paper it has shredded to build a cozy nest in private. How lucky is Denise? She doesn't know, she doesn't think her gift, she just acts it out like a bird flies, without guilt, denial or judgment. A true art form, outside the parameters of the rational mind. I don't think I have the courage to think it, but I have to, Fiona, I have to. If I want any of my life to make sense. Since Janet, I wonder if this is what you did as well, if you found temporary accommodations with me and drew me here to tell your story. And if so, how is it possible? I have dedicated my entire life to learning what is true. This is what we do. We present hypotheses, we provide evidence, we truth test them, we discuss them with others, we consider different points of view. Now I'm running myself in circles, because if whatever I felt, whatever my mind saw, wasn't real, I'm wasting my time chasing the wind here, and if it is true, I shouldn't have to hide it behind a self-conscious smile like some contemptible pleasure. I came all the way here in search of an answer, and the answer is clear and right in front of me, so glaring I have to squint, and I pretend not to see it, because of what that would make me, crazy, disreputable, an outcast. So much for scientific honesty, an entire life of presenting to the world an image other than your own. I buried myself in my research, managing to be productive for a change, anything to ignore Denise's furtive glances when she thinks I'm not looking, and justify postponing the life examination I owe my true self. Now it's not the time. But there is always a now, Fiona, and it's always important, and it always ceases to matter a short while into the future, when a new now takes the stage. How can I expect to get credit for your story while denying it even exists? Somewhere in the folds of time the truth is patiently waiting, and all I have to do is let you take me by the hand and lead me to it, but I'm sitting here instead, trying to avoid my sister's worried glances and pretending to be busy. There is nothing new to learn from the documents on this table, I already know that after poring over them for so long, I could recite them in my sleep. I came here to find you. A heavy slumber suddenly overcame me. I couldn't keep my eyes open and figured I should get some rest. My sleep took me to another place on this vast tapestry we call time to show me what your world was like, Fiona, and it was nothing like what I learned to expect after studying all the documents I could find about it. Of course, all of them were written centuries after your way of life had disappeared, inspired by oral accounts and lore passed down through generations, an image of what your life must have been like, seen through the window of a different time. A legend, a story. In my dream, I saw narrow streets, carved deeply between mounds like trenches, lined with animal skins stretched on flexible wood branches, arching overhead, a world a lot brighter and more colorful than we are led to believe, populated by young people, strong, healthy and joyous, who didn't look burdened by a life we think harsh, short and unforgiving. Music filled the streets, and I made up bits and pieces of a strange song about dreaming oneself cozy and protected, far from the tribulations of the world. I dreamt a dream last night of silk and fine fur. Stone carvings, painted in the brightest hues of blue, yellow and red, guarded the entrances to underground homes. How did they make the pigments, I wondered. We have a distorted image of the past, where everything looks like a museum, all classic and minimalist, where the only color is the color of stone. They left not a single inch of surface unpainted in your time. Everything sings in brilliant hues, creating exquisite harmonies against the verdant mounds, sprinkled with bright red drawings of dragons. Because maybe when we dream the world anew, it can be free of struggle, and maybe we can tame the weather, and master the sea, and dance, and sing, and love. A lovely place that, just like this dream, is made of color, poetry, and songs. I'm watching a dream inside a dream, Fiona, where people are laughing, and making plans, and art, and thinking the world through poetry. I walk through those streets in my dream for a long time, wondering if anyone there could see me, and I knew it was a lucid dream because I could sense I didn't belong to their time, and I finally found you, laughing with Jerun, who is teaching you stick fighting. You're a magnificent fighter, agile and deceptively strong. Even in my dream, it feels strange to see you in this light, holding your own against your much more powerful teacher. She doesn't seem to spare the rod when the situation warrants it, does she? Maybe not everything was silk and fine furs, then. Not even for a fair-haired princess like you. You felt my gaze and turned your head and pointed your stick to the cairn in the distance, whose image had become very familiar to me after so many hours of looking at pictures of it and its carvings. You then pounded the ground with the end of your stick and frowned at me, and your gaze turned into a sharp arrow flying towards my head. I woke up just before it reached me, to the sight of Denise leaning over me, staring. Tomorrow we go to Queen.